You are listening to Benefit from the Bible. The Bible is God's word of truth to show us our need for Jesus, to save us through Jesus, and to show us how to live for Jesus. If you have questions or needs, please let us know. Dear friends in Jesus Christ, let's think about ourselves for a few moments here as we begin today. Have you become comfortable in your sin? So has it become kind of a normal thing in your life in various ways? Have you forgotten about the end of the world? Do you think things are just going to go on and on and on? Many people do. And finally, are you living more for this life than you are for the life to come? In other words, are you so wrapped up in things here that you don't have much time or thought for what is yet to come? In today's sermon, we're going to take a look at 2 Peter chapter 3, and we're going to find some important reminders for each one of us. We're going to hear about the coming end of the world, and we're also going to hear what should be going on in our lives as the followers of Jesus Christ between now and the time of the end. Going to 2 Peter chapter 3, first of all, we focus on a couple important reminders. Going to verse 1 of the chapter, Peter wrote, "This is now the second letter that I am writing to you, beloved. In both of them, I am stirring up your sincere mind by way of reminder that you should remember the predictions of the holy prophets and the commandment of the Lord and Savior through your apostles." So he spoke there of having a sincere mind. What does it mean to have a sincere mind? Maybe a sincere Christian mind. I like the answer here that Dr. Kretzmann wrote, "A mind which is always open to instruction and admonition from the Word of God." May God grant that that would always describe our minds, open to hear and receive whatever the Word of God says. Going further now, we come to verse 3 of the letter, and we come to the first prediction. Peter wrote, "The scoffers will come in the last days with scoffing, following their own sinful desires. They will say, 'Where is the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all things are continuing as they were from the beginning of creation.'" When we come to people who are scoffers, I think they tend to be people who are, in the eyes of the world, important, in the eyes of the world, intelligent, and because that is oftentimes true, many other people have a tendency to listen to them, to follow them. They're thinking, "That man is so important. That man is so intelligent. He must know what he's talking about. It must be true." So people tend to go then in that direction. When they say that all things are continuing as they were, what are they doing? They are denying the reality of the worldwide flood. Such denials today are very common. We see denials outside of the church all over the world, but we also see them within the church in many, many places. A very sad situation, since the Bible is so clear about what happened. And then think about this reality. There is evidence all over the world to prove the reality of the worldwide flood. Whenever we hear people denying it, we should know that we are living in the last days. It's a reminder in that direction. Going on to verse 5 of the text, Peter wrote, "For they deliberately overlook this fact that the heavens existed long ago and the earth was formed out of water and through water by the word of God, and that by means of these the world that then existed was deluged with water and perished." So why is it that many tend to deny the fact that God created, that there was a worldwide flood, and that the end of the world is coming? Why would people do that? I believe they're doing it because they're trying to eliminate there even being a God, and they're trying to eliminate that God has any bearing on our lives at all, so they can go and do whatever they want to do, and they can do so in a comfortable manner. Many people live under that delusion today, but when those people find themselves on their deathbeds, do you think they're comfortable? Do you think they're saying, hey, I have so thoroughly gotten rid of God, there is no God, when I breathe my last, that will be the end? Or do you think in the back of their minds they're thinking, I live in an awesome world, and there has to be a great God, and I've rejected him my entire life, and now that I'm about ready to die, I'm terrified. We don't know what people are thinking, but they probably should be terrified. It says in Hebrews 10:31, it is a terrifying thing to fall into the hands of the living God. But many people have talked themselves out of such things. Going on in the letter to verse 7, we come here to the second prediction. Peter wrote, by the same word, the heavens and earth that now exist are stored up for fire, being kept until the day of judgment and destruction of the ungodly. So there is a great difference between those who do not believe and those who do believe. Those who do not believe, they would probably say, there is no God, there was no creation, there was no flood, there will be no fire, and there will be no judgment. And they tend to be comfortable in such opinions, but God wants us to know, in fact, he has shown us in his holy word, he has impressed upon us that in all five cases, the answer is yes. God wants us to remember such things. He wants such things to make a difference even now in our lives. Going on to the second part of the sermon, we come to the end of the world. So what about the timing of it? If we think back to some comments in the New Testament, there are people living not that many decades after Jesus ascended into heaven, and they're so surprised that he has not yet returned. So understand that people long ago thought he would come in a very short time. Here we are now almost 2,000 years later, and still he has not yet come. What do we conclude? Well, it's going to help us right here. Let's take a look. Verse 8, but do not overlook this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord, one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should go forward to repentance. In the world, we are bound by time. So almost everything in our lives, we have a particular time schedule we're trying to follow. But with the Lord, he exists outside of time, so he is not bound by time. So something that we think is a long time to him, it can be a very short time. Think about the fall of Adam and Eve into sin. God comes and promises to them in so many words, I will send my son to take away your sins. And then how long did it take before the Son of God was actually born? It took about 4,000 years. So when we think about Jesus living then and saying, I will be back, and it's only been 2,000 years, should we be surprised? By no means. Could he come at any time? Yes. But should we be surprised that he hasn't come yet? No. But what is the purpose of his delay, though? Is there a good reason for it? It told us here in the text, he is delaying because he wants more and more people to come to repentance. When Jesus finally comes, all who are not repentant, they will be lost forever. In other words, those who are not sorry for their sins, those who are not trusting in Jesus, they will be lost forever. So he's waiting for more and more people to be repentant before he comes. And then we see the shock of his coming going to verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done on it will be burned up. Let's think for a moment about thieves. Are we thankful that some thieves are dumb? We are. What would a dumb thief do? A dumb thief would call us up on the phone and say, "Hey, by the way, I'm planning to come and rob your house tonight." That's what a dumb thief would do. Some of them, though, are smart, and they're going to come at a time when we would least expect them. In the same way, when Jesus comes, he will come at a time when people least expect him. Why are people not going to be ready for his coming? I think they're too busy with the temporary things in this world, so not much time and maybe no time at all to think about the fact of his coming. So what are people busy with? They are busy with maybe working to make money, shopping online, fixing their cars, remodeling their homes, all kinds of stuff like that they are busy with. But let's think about the foolishness of that, though. People are busy with all these things that are temporary, and when Jesus comes, all of that will be consumed by fire. So does it make sense to get so busy with temporary stuff that one day is going to be gone? Doesn't it make a whole lot more sense to invest our time in things that are of eternal significance, like God's Word and like His Holy Son and things like that? God wants us to really ponder that. He wants us to think about our own lives. Where are we putting our emphasis? Are we kind of squeezing in just enough time to gather for church? Or is this an important part of our week, and does this have a profound influence on the rest of our week? God wants us to be focused on the eternal rather than on the temporal. And then finally, we come to the last part here, and we're focusing on this time in our lives between now and when we die or when Christ comes again. And what I'm trying to say here is that things that are going to happen in the future, like the coming of fire, should have an influence on us now as we live in Christ. Peter continued the letter with these words: "Since all these things are thus to be dissolved, what sort of people ought you to be in lives of holiness and godliness, waiting for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be set on fire and dissolved, and the heavenly bodies will melt as they burn?" What has God done for us? People outside of the church, they think the world will never end. What has God done for us? He has shown us that, in fact, His word is true. He has shown us that the world we live in is temporary, and He has shown us that fire is coming in the end in order to do exactly what Peter wrote. Because such things are true, that should impact our lives now so that we live lives that are pure and godly. We don't do such things to earn our way into heaven. We can't. But we trust in Jesus. We know that He is God's Son. We know He did a finished work. We know we have heaven through Him. And then resulting from that, He's calling us to live in ways that are pure and godly. And then finally, at the end of chapter 3 here, we come to what is most important of all, that we are found to be in Jesus Christ. Peter wrote, "But according to His promise, we are waiting for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, since you are waiting for these, be diligent to be found by Him in peace, without spot or blemish." So when it says to be found in Him, that's what makes us without spot and without blemish. Those are not separate things, but rather those tie together. Many people are going through life thinking that somehow good is good enough, or God will accept us because we're good, or God will accept us because we haven't done anything that bad. But the Bible makes it clear, though, that only in Jesus Christ are we good enough. He is the one who did everything for us. We were baptized into Christ, so we have the benefits of what he did, and as God enables us to continue in Christ, then we are at peace with God. Then we are ready for the fire to come. Then we are ready for the end of the world. Then we are ready for the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. May God grant us great joy today as we know that our sins are forgiven and as we know that there is coming a new heavens and a new earth. It's going to be wonderful. So may the joy of such things cause us to continue to be sorry for our sins and to go forward in ways that will truly honor our great God and Savior. Let us pray. Dear Father in heaven, as you sent water in the days of Noah, and though people did not expect it, it came in a shocking way, so you have promised to send fire in the end. Though many people are unprepared, make us prepared by always being aware of our sins, being sorry for our sins, and knowing your Son, Jesus Christ. Even lead us, dear Father, to shine the light of Christ, to share your holy word, so that others might know him too. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Questions? Needs? Contact us through our website, BethlehemLutheranChurchParma.com. This is our regular schedule: Sundays, service at 8, classes at 9:30, service at 10:45. Now, may the Lord of peace continually grant you peace in every circumstance. The Lord be with you all.